better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Okay, so let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Miss Lisa is calling in from Northeast Arkansas. What's going on, Miss Lisa?
Well, I'm just doing great this morning. And I want to tell y'all something. I sound terrible because I don't have a voice. I screamed my guts out yesterday. But I made the news, and I got to call the hogs in front of that Jonesboro bunch.
I saw
that made me feel good.
I saw you on Facebook there, yeah. Saw that picture.
And I've got... And I plugged this radio station. I plugged it right in front of all the other people that stood in front of me that doesn't like me. So,
hang on. Now, why do they not like you?
Well, you want me to tell the truth or lie?
Well, we're very honest here on this show, so go ahead and give us the truth.
Okay, I'm going to be truthful. Because I hate ASU, and I get on the local radio station every day and go on and on and on until they hang up on me. That's how I get my joy at 61. Y'all don't believe me, do
no,
you?
No, I know
no,
that.
We fully believe you.
I actually know that is true. So.
Well, I love it. I love getting under their skin. But anyway, let me tell you about the recruit I witnessed yesterday, and I don't care. Nobody's going to bring me down. Y'all were exactly right this morning. If I had a hammer, which I do, and I hope nobody hits him between the eyes with a hammer today because they'll blame it on me, I would hunt him down. I'd like to, and hit him between the eyes with a hammer. I'd only mess up one eye. I'm sorry I said that. Please don't hold that against me.
Who is
talking
him?
About Chad Morris?
All right.
I'm talking about Chad Morris. He's only got one eye. And that may explain some of this recruiting mess. He got us letting Jacoby Criswell get out of the state. But like you said, it's not Jacoby's fault.
No, not at all.
No. And I hope he does, you know, I got to get away from that because it'll make me sick. I mean, it'll ruin my day.
There's never, ever, ever, ever a reason not to put your best effort to recruit the number one player in the state. And that's what Arkansas did. They simply ignored the number one player in the state.
And let me tell you why. He had a plan for here. He wanted his son to come in and be a star. And I don't know his son. I wouldn't know him if he knocked on my front door right now needing a cup of coffee. And I don't even know his wife. I don't know none of them. Don't want to know none of them. But when Auburn comes to Arkansas, I'm going to seek them out and tell them what I think. So security, mark it down. But anyway, moving on to something better. The Stewart family told me how Coach Pittman came to their house and what all he did to make sure Jashad was on board. Took his shoes off. Come in the door and took his shoes off. And the mother said, "Now, Coach Pittman, you don't have to do that." He said, "Oh, yes, I do." He said, and explained to her why he wanted to take his shoes off. And they all laughed, had a good laugh. And they said they were just in awe of how he made Jashad feel like he was going to make a difference in this team if he did one, two, three, you know, if he did what they expected of him with his ability and talents, what he could do and what he could be and what he could make, and told him how it was up to the coaching staff to get him there and himself to, you know, to work with him. And they told me that, and yes, y'all may not get it, but I started crying because I thought, finally, we've got a coach that gets it. And they said he went on and on about wanting this job and not that Jashad didn't choose them. He chose him. And it was just, I was so glad I went. Well, then come time to call the hog, they wanted me up there in front of Region 8 TV, and I don't even like Region 8 TV except for the sports director. I like him. And, y'all, I'm not liked very well up here beside people. I may be moving to y'all's neck of the woods soon. But anyway, it was a great day for me to relax and have fun and be a hog fan and have hope. I mean, and people are on board. And Steve Cox, you know, who I had words with.
Yeah.
Y'all, do y'all know Steve Cox,
yeah,
the board member?
He's on the board, yeah.
Well, you know, he played football for the Razorbacks. He was our kicker,
mm-hmm.
punter.
Yeah.
Well, he lives over here not too far from me. And I apologized, and he hugged me. You know, I said some not very nice things, but I'm back on board with Steve Cox, and I know Steve's listening. So, Steve, I'm getting it out there. And he laughed, and he hugged me. And, but anyway, he told me a little bit of the process, but I can't tell it on the radio.
Well, what good
so
is that?
So, when I meet y'all, what, huh?
What good does that do us?
Well, I know it. He told me not to, and I'm trying to stay on his good side. But I'm going to tell y'all in person. I can do that. I just don't need to be on the radio, he said. Hey, I've already said too much on the radio, he thinks. I don't think I have, but anyway. But anyway, it feels good. I'm excited this morning. I know we've only got 10 recruits. We're going to be all right. And it's going to work out. The ones, and Nan Gatlin was there, Noah's mother. And she said Noah is way far and above what they expected him to be. So spring, he'll be ready to go for spring practice. And they are very on board with the hire. Very on board. They, I can't tell you what she told me in confidentiality either. You know, don't you just take that and people say, well, I can't tell you because I promise. But I'm excited this morning. But on the other hand, I'm like you, Tommy. What, you know, Chad Morse, and I'm going to hang up with this, believe it or not, unless y'all hang up on me like they do over here. Chad Morse should be banned from coaching college football. Mm. He ran a coup with this. He ran a coup. And he blocked Jacoby and some others because he wanted his son to shine. And that makes me sick. That's evil. That's ugly. That's dirty. He ought to be banned. We thought different people around the state thought Bobby Petrino did something bad when Frank Broyles, as used to be secretary, told me this herself. If everybody up here got fired for some of the stuff they were doing, she said there'd just be a handful of us up here working. And bless her heart, she was right. But anyway, he should be banned. But I wish Jacoby the best. I'm getting off here. I know y'all have heard enough of me this morning, but I'm excited.
Right. Well, if we don't talk to you before Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Oh, you will. I'll talk to you.
I was about to say, Tommy.
I'll see you Christmas Day.
All right, we're ready.
Oh, my gosh.
We're ready.
Appreciate the phone call, Miss Lisa.
She may be telling the truth.
I would say she keeps saying it, so it might end up being true. But, you know, as far as the comments that she made about the deal with the Jashad Stewart and the recruiting class and the excitement. You know, listen, if you're looking at it right now, and I'm looking at 247 Sports, and you know they're 88th in the country, they're 14th in the SEC. They have a tall task going up against them anyways because, let's be honest, the SEC, you can finish 15th in the country, but you can still finish 12th in the league. It's just how the recruiting is done in this conference.
Whether you're 11th, 12th, 13th, or 14th,
It
doesn't make a damn.
It doesn't matter.
They're all the same.
Exactly right.
You know.
But the one thing.
And really, the only things that matter about the top four or five anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I kept trying to tell people, I'm like, is there really that big of a difference between if you finish 11th or you finish 16th?
No. But there is a difference between finishing 14th and finishing 6th. So.
Yeah, I know. And listen, I totally get that. I totally understand that. But again, I think most Razorback fans, reasonable Razorback fans, understand the situation that they find themselves in. And as kind of meh as it was yesterday, you still had some good news. You still were able to flip a guy like Miles Slusher, who's a 4-star safety. I think Arkansas could probably use a 4-star safety. So that was nice to see. You knew that guys like a Ray Curry flipped him from Missouri. Dominique Johnson, a running back. One was an offensive tackle. Curry was an offensive tackle. 6'6", 315. Big old boy. You got him, and you got Dominique Johnson. You flipped them from Missouri. So there were some things that you could say, all right, that feels good. But again, this is going to be a long, drawn-out process. And what you're hoping for is that, first off, they can have a strong finish to this recruiting class. They've still got 2 months, roughly, to get it done. You're hoping they can finish strong. And the other thing is that you're hoping that a lot, and I mean a lot, of these young players that you have currently on the roster will be able to benefit from development, from coaching up, and be able to really blossom under Sam Pittman and his staff. You're hoping that they can really shine. So if those two things happen, you know, maybe there's some things to really feel good about. But unfortunately, you're just not going to know the true impact of all of this till next couple of years. So, but I still feel like it's going to be okay. It's just a circumstance that you find yourself in. It's unfortunate.
Well, and they've got 10. I don't think they'll fill the other 15 spots. But let's say they get 10 more. And we'll just judge it then. I mean, that's the best we can do, right? I mean, I know today we're going to sit here and talk about you're 87th in the country or whatever, 14th in the league. It's not pretty. It's another kick between the legs. But all we can do is sit and hope that February, when you tally up the final results, that it's somehow better. But right now, it feels like you're down 49-7 at halftime again. It's what it feels like.
What you're used to.
Well, I'm tired of being used to it.
I know it. But again,
this isn't anything or a sentiment or an emotion directed at Pittman or anybody. It's just, I think if you pay attention and you realize what this means for the next couple of years, this is a huge obstacle for this coaching staff to work around if they can't make this drastically better by February. And it's just going to be hard because 70% of the kids sign in this 2 or 3 day period that began yesterday. So that's just my only point is it just makes the dadgum job more difficult for Sam Pittman to accomplish.
Because there's really nothing you could have done.
And no fault of his own.
Yeah, you couldn't have changed anything. Like there's nothing that could have been changed to make this all of a sudden become great. Like Sam Pittman had 10 plus days to recruit. 10 plus days.
And put a staff together and get his feet on the ground with the team he's re-recruit some of the players you already had. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what's going to happen when you have this circumstance that you find yourself in. And it's unfortunate. And it makes you angry because it's just like you want to blame somebody. You want to throw something at somebody. But you just got to hope that this doesn't happen again. Where you don't, in the next 2 or 3 years, you're having to go through the same thing.
Arkansas's got to find some stability because that's how you build recruiting classes. Stability,
yeah,
building relationships. These kids, you know, we talk about Criswell, North Carolina, have been recruiting for 3 years, building a relationship, building trust. Sam Pittman's talked about building trust. There's no way in a matter of a week and a half you can get a kid to trust you that you've only known for 10 days. It's impossible. The key that Arkansas has got to go recruit these kids, get on their campus, talk to their parents, talk to those kids, and get them to come to campus multiple times for unofficial and then official visits. That's how the process is done. You can't skip steps 1 through 88 and then hope you get to the finish line. You know, it's a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Recruiting is a marathon. Can't skip the first 26 miles and run the last 2/10. That's not how it works.
No. And I'll be curious when we have Richard Davenport on later in the show at 8 o'clock. I want to ask him what the 2021 class looks like in the state of Arkansas and seeing if there's other big-time players that are going to be coming through.
The shame of it is that you had a great class in the state last year. And, you know, mainly because you had Treylon Burks and you had Hudson Henry and you had, you know, some great legitimate four-star players that were well-ranked. Very highly thought of in-state class. Not huge on numbers, but a lot of players, you know, some really good players. You know, you got a couple of those there that I just mentioned. But, you know, you're not going to have those come in cycles. Be a great question for Richard. I don't know when there's another cycle like that coming in our state.
Yeah, I don't know. And it may be a while before one comes. But the ones you have in state, the ones that are good enough to play at Arkansas, get them. Get them on campus. Build those relationships up. And I know that we're going to play some audio from Sam Pittman in his press conference yesterday. And if you want to watch it, you can head over to hitthatline.com. But it just, it makes sense that in this circumstance with Sam Pittman, he needs to build relationships. His staff needs to build relationships. And you can't build any sort of legitimate relationship in 10 days, especially when people have been ahead of the curve and had the jump on you from the get-go. Yeah. That's the whole thing. So let's go back.
Can't skip all the steps.
No, you can't at all. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Scott is in Bella Vista. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, you guys are making some really good, valid points, but let me try to give you just one little positive spin on this. You know, the 10 guys that Sam Pittman did sign, obviously, with all the adversity that Arkansas had, the coaching change, everything that's going on, those 10 guys saw something in Arkansas that they wanted to be here. So that's got to be, you know, somewhat of a positive for Sam Pittman, that he's got 10 guys that want to be in the program that he can build from.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
He even said in his press conference yesterday that he's like, we just want people that want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when he was asked about Jordan Jones and transferring out, he's like, I'm not going to comment. The only thing I'll say is I just want people that want to be here. And so that's at least going to give you an idea of the mentality that Sam Pittman, he wants to be here at Arkansas.
Yep.
And he's going to expect the same thing from his staff, from his players and everybody, that you better want to be here, because if you don't want to be here, we don't want you. So I think that's also a very good point by you, and a good silver lining in this whole thing too.
Well, have a good day, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Scott. I mean, but that's the key, is that you want people that want to be there. And I don't think that's me saying it's cliche, because every coach will say, hey, we just want people that want to be here. But it is a little different that Sam Pittman's not going to go into a kid's house that's going to, you know, let's play games with it, to try to play with their minds. And it's a culture that you want, where it's like you're either all in with us or you're not in at all. We don't want you to have one foot in, one foot out. It's a culture that's being built. I think, and you can even bring it all the way back up to Hunter Yurecek. Hunter Yurecek, when he hires coaches, that's what he wants. He wants people that want to be here, not one foot in, one foot out. It's what Sam Pittman wants as his staff and as a coach, and that's what he's going to expect out of his players. Mm-hmm. It's a culture that needs to be built, and it's a culture that you haven't felt like has been at the University of Arkansas, specifically in the football program, for quite some time, where everybody.
Almost a decade.
Everybody wants to be there. And it's just you haven't had it. That's the culture that you need to build at Arkansas. Us against the world.
That's the nature of our state. That's in our DNA. We get that at birth. We've always and always will have a little brother complex in the state, a mm-hmm. chip on our shoulder, feeling like it's us against the world, as you say. That's just our mentality here in Arkansas. You know it. I know it. I mean, I know you were born in Dallas, but you lived here 98% of your life, yeah, or whatever. We're all Arkansans here. We know how we think. And we've always felt like we're the underdog in everything we do. Football, basketball, it doesn't matter. Every walk of life, politics, school, whatever. We're always the underdog. And we're used to that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. You got to want to be here, because if you're a front runner, you want to be out there with a front runner? This ain't your place.
No. No. You're not going to get that benefit.
I mean, our roads aren't as good as some other states. I mean, you just keep going down the list.
The literacy rate ain't great.
Well, maybe, you know, teen pregnancies too. I just keep going, you know. We're always the underdog.
Yeah. And you know what? And if you need the
thank God for Mississippi.
Exactly right. But if you needed the indication of that, I think, and I always refer back to this, is when Arkansas won the national championship in college basketball in 1994, Nolan Richardson. The whole headline, the whole story, the whole phrase, whatever it was, that for that whole thing, and especially was reinforced by Nolan Richardson, is one simple thing: respect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were constantly having to battle for. Yep. Was respect, because they always got put down. They always talked about, well, you know, Arkansas versus Duke, it's the smart kids versus the dumb kids. Mm-hmm. That's what it always was, and it always will be, and it's never going to change. If Arkansas hopefully ever makes it to a national championship in college football, folks, it will not matter who they play. No one will pick you. No one will like you. They don't want you to win because you're Arkansas. You're not the sexy girl at the party. That's just the way it is. And it's a mentality that has to be embraced by whoever is on campus. I think Bobby Petrino had a little bit of that. I think Sam Pittman has a little bit of that. I think that coaches in general, I mean, you can even say Dave Van Horn, he has a little bit of that where he goes with a chip on his shoulder. It's like, hey, people aren't giving us the respect we are due.
Mm-hmm.
And he embraces that and he instills that culture.
But right now, Arkansas is not due a lot of respect. I mean, that's the thing. You got to get back to.
And that's what I'm saying.
You
got
to get back to the point where you're due some respect.
Yeah.
And the way you motivate out of that, the way you know you recruit out of that, the way you do all the ingredients that go into the pot of getting back to where you want to be is all kind of founded back on that, you know, we're not highly thought of.
Mm-mm.
We gotta dig our heels in a little bit more.
Yep.
We're going to have to lift a few more weights. We're going to have to try a little harder because we're not going to get any breaks.
Yep.
Because we're Arkansas.
Yep. And Sam Pittman.
And Sam Pittman embraces that.
He does. And the one thing that I think he will do, unlike other coaches that have come before him, he won't just say it. He's not going to say, pick us last and watch what happens. He's not going to say, well, I'm not a comedian. He's not going to say stuff like that to think that you're being disrespectful. He's going to go out and he's going to show it. That's what you're hopeful for. Not saying it, actually showing it. Because showing it is all that matters.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
You know, we had Tiger Bait call in for the first time in the previous segment. He's just joining us, and apparently, this just in. But Tiger Bait, when he calls in, initiates a lot of reaction from people. And we have a lot of people that have been texting us, Tommy, on our Cherokee Casino hotline, that have been tweeting at us, that have been commenting on our live stream. In so many words saying, don't ever allow him to come back on the air again.
You know, if we listened to everyone on the live stream, we would never have Miss Lisa, Eddie in Clarksville, Tiger Bait, Gentle, you know, if we listen to those, they provide texture, some character.
Yeah.
You know, to the show.
Personality.
Add a little something.
A little flair.
I think most people that complain about those type of callers are because they can't be as entertaining as those callers when they call in.
Ooh, calling them out.
Well, you've done this long enough. Am I right or am I wrong?
You are right.
There are four or five or six callers that just stand out above the rest of them. Gary in Arkadelphia is near the top of my list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Gary doesn't call a lot, but when he calls,
it's good.
It's good. Tiger Bait never called before. You know, some of these, you know, some call every day, some call once a week, some call, you know, Gary calls once a quarter. But when, you know, just bring it.
Yeah.
When you call, make it entertaining, make it engaging. Make it fun, because we know this, bad calls run off listeners. We don't want to run off listeners. We only got three to begin with, so we need all three of you.
And they're all three of them in this room.
Thanks, Mom. So, if you're going to call, what is it Rome says? Have a take and don't suck.
Yep.
So that's pretty much it.
It's pretty fair rules to have. And by the way, Lisa, tell me if this is a compliment, Tommy. Lisa commented on the Facebook live stream, and she says, John, you are losing weight. Your face now fits into my phone screen.
You are the only employee we've ever hired that, after nearly 2 years on the job, weighs less than when they started.
Wow, that's a stat right there.
I think you are maybe the only one.
Huh.
I don't know. Maybe a few others.
Yeah, because
certainly on this side of the building.
I know the ties gain weight.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah.
I don't know about Phil. I think Phil's just going to be the same size no matter what. But okay. I thank you for that.
Yeah,
I try to. But when you bring in the peanut butter cake as you brought in this morning, that's not exactly helpful.
Hey, you're the one that asked for it.
Listen. I am all about it. I am not going to complain. Just knowing that my workout later today is not going to be a fun time either. So
it's Christmas.
It's Chris. That's right. It is Christmas.
Christmas calories don't count.
Exactly. They don't count towards anything. So, but no, it's going to be great. But the whole point is, though, is that we have callers on, and it was nice to hear from Tiger Bait just for once, even though people hate him. And as we've seen through the comments that are being left by people, some of them are pretty mean. But that's all right. We won't read those on the air. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Rod is on I-40. What's going on, Rod?
Good morning, guys. Tiger bait, really. My goodness, their arrogance is pretty stifling since we run them out of rentals not that many years ago, and they didn't score a point. It's okay. You know, it's all right. Some kind of bait anyway, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Pittman's going to be here a while. He's got a perfect setup for it. You know, we've had a 4-8 year and then two 10 years. The man wins 4 games. We're going to treat him like the second coming. That'll be nice to see a Coach Poplar again. And I believe that it'd be a perfect year for that. But I think we have 3 non-conference wins next year. Notre Dame is probably not going to happen. But I believe we'll probably pick off Ole Miss, and I'm pretty sure Barry Odom's got a thing or two for Missouri.
Yeah.
That he would probably love to run him out without a score. But I've heard Tiger Bait call. I've never heard him call you guys before.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness.
Well, that was
arrogant much.
Yeah, well, that was the first time he's called, and that's just what he is. That's what his shtick is. Yeah. And as always, appreciate you calling, Rod. You know, another thing, just going back to your point, though, listen, if Arkansas wins 4 games next year, that's a huge win. It's a successful season, because that either means, one, they beat Notre Dame, or two, they won an SEC game. So those alone will make it worthwhile. But, hey, it's what makes it interesting, and that's what we're going to see how it plays out. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Jason is in Missouri. What's going on, Jason?
Oh, nothing much. Just wondering how you guys doing this morning.
We're doing fine, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Headed to work. Me and my boss, all we do is sit around and talk about Arkansas here lately. You know, I look at the schedule we got coming up in the next couple of years, Notre Dame and Texas, and I just shake my head because I'm like, our conference is tough enough. Why are we going out and scheduling teams? It's going to make it harder for us to win.
Well, you got to have one non-conference game that's a Power 5 opponent. Arkansas had to get a waiver the last 2 years when Michigan dumped them, kind of left them at the altar. So that's the scheduling formula that's required in the SEC, is you've got to have a Power 5 team as one of your 4 non-conference games.
Yeah.
So Notre Dame coming on. Texas is a game that they owed Arkansas.
Back from 09.
Yeah, so this was kind of a make good, if you will. So, you know, Arkansas's got some other teams, BYU coming up, Oklahoma State down the road. Another one in 2025 with Notre Dame coming here. So, you know, it's actually Arkansas getting back to the way it's supposed to be.
Right, right. But it just seems bad. We've been talking about Billima here the past few days, being a boss. And it just seems like, you know, back in we were ready to cane him, and now we've had these seasons now, and we're like, me and him was like, man, I wish we could just have him back, you know, and we can't Houston nut. Years ago, and now I'm like, hey, just let Houston come back, you know. I'm hoping Sam Pittman can get us back to that winning mentality. We can't go in here as Arkansas fans and believe that, you know, we're going to compete with Alabama for a national championship, you know, every 2 or 3 years. But I mean, if we could have a 9-win season about every 4 years, I consider that a win.
Well, see, and that's the thing, that every, when it comes to changing of coaches, it's always hindsight. Listen, firing Brett Bielema at that point in time was the right move.
At that point in time.
It made sense.
Well,
but looking back on it.
Think about it right.
But that's what I'm saying. But looking back on it, and you're like, you didn't have an athletic director. That was all up in the air.
And the early signing period began
that year. Was the first time.
That was really the bigger mistake of all of it.
You hired Chad Morris, which had never beaten a Power 5 team before, had a somewhat success of building a program up at SMU, had to win 7-5. It's just, when you look back on it, if you would have known that you were going to have back-to-back years of 2-10 with Chad Morris, you would have never made that move. But that's unfortunate. You live in the moment, and you try to make that change, and sometimes that gets happened
with you. Just say it out loud or write it down. Fire your coach with no sitting AD, with no true AD in place, and the first ever early signing period days away. That just doesn't make sense.
That's right.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it don't.
And listen, it's easy to spot when you're looking at the results of that decision. 2-10, 2 years in a row, is the results of that decision.
Yeah, and I wanted to hire. I told my uncle about 9 months before we hired Billima. I said, "Well, you're ready to hire a coach." I said, "Man, I'd like to have that guy from Wisconsin." I didn't know his name at the time, and my uncle gives me a call, and he said, "We hired him. We hired him. That guy you wanted, they hired him." I just couldn't believe it, and he turned out to be a pretty good coach. And then, you know, we just. You know, sometimes our expectations at Arkansas begin to get a little high, you know, and we have a, like I said, a 4-loss season, and it, you know, and it's the fan base and it's the pressure on everybody, you know, to get rid of them. And I understand that, you know, we want to be a big program, you know, like in basketball right now. I'm so happy where we are in basketball because I've been staying for the past 4 or 5 years and I like Anderson. But me and my uncle would watch the games together, and we would sit there and figure out, we said, what are they doing offensively? Mm. We could watch any other team that we don't even know one time during the year, a quarter into the game, we could see what they were trying to do offensively. But Arkansas, we never could tell what they were trying to run other than just trying to turn you over and just run down there and throw up shots. And in this day and time, it's not the 90s. Most everybody now can handle the ball very well. That kind of pressure that they would put on people in the early 90s doesn't seem to work as well as it can today. And so I'm so glad I can watch most of them in this team, and they're such a good defensive team still, but I can see what they're trying to do offensively. I can see the growth that they're trying to build together.
Well, the rules don't allow for the same kind of defensive tactics that were used 20 years ago. Rule 10-1-4 has changed everything.
Yeah.
But I'm just hoping that, you know, maybe this year or something or next few years we can get back to a Sweet 16, maybe to a Final Four in the next 5 or 6 years. But all we can do is hope as fans.
That's right. That's right, and that's all you have. And I really appreciate the phone call, Jason. Good call. And here's the thing about coaching hires and what Arkansas has done in their history. You've had coaching hires that everyone thought was just the right move. By and large, everyone was all in, thought it was incredible. Bielma might be one of those examples because it was like, man, they went out and hired this coach that had 3 straight Big Ten titles. What a move. Didn't end up working out.
Yeah.
But there's also been some coaches that nobody really wanted. I mean, if you think about the whole story of Nolan Richardson, it's like, wait a minute, you went from Eddie Sutton, who had taken you to a Final Four, who had made you one of the best programs in the country, and you hired this coach, Nolan Richardson, that had an NIT title, and it was a junior college national championship in a Tulsa? That's who you're going to go with?
And look what happened. After having a coach that took you to the Final Four?
Yeah.
How in the world will you ever get back to a Final Four?
Yeah.
Oh, well, just here, hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly right. And so sometimes these coaching hires, and I know this isn't saying anything new, but sometimes these coaching hires are just like when it comes to recruiting. You don't know. You know, just because a kid's a 5-star doesn't mean he's going to be a 5-star and perform at a 5-star level once he gets on campus.
What, 3 of the 4 coaches in the college football playoff had not been head coaches before their current job?
That's right. That's right.
And Ed Orgeron had bounced around. He'd been at Ole Miss, and then he was an interim at USC, and he was an interim at LSU and got elevated. He hadn't had, like, Ed Orgeron hadn't had this, like, 20-year run of being a head coach before he came to LSU.
No. And I was one of those people that thought it was a dumb move by LSU.
It was a risk by LSU to hire Ed Orgeron.
Yeah, I thought it was a dumb move. And I'm eating crow because it worked out. And same thing with even like if you're an Oklahoma fan and you looked at when Bob Stoops to Lincoln Riley. Who the crap is Lincoln Riley? Well,
the timing of that gave them no choice, really.
But right. But what I'm saying is that they, if you're Oklahoma, you could have gone out and been looking out into the college football landscape and saying, listen, this is one of the premier jobs. You could probably get you some big-time name coach, but you went with the right guy. And it's
they could have said Lincoln Riley is our interim, and then we'll decide after the season.
Yeah.
Because Bob Stoops left in the middle of the summer, wasn't it?
I believe so.
It was an odd time. It wasn't at the end of the year. And they didn't do that. They gave him $4 million and made him the head coach because they saw it, you know?
Yeah.
They already knew what the rest of the world didn't know.
That's right. And again.
And here's the thing. Clay Henry was telling this story. I think it was on the air, but it doesn't matter. Coaches know coaches. And when you listen to coaches that have been around and know the success, they can spot a good young coach coming. They see the practices. They know their techniques and their tactics and their recruiting skills and all the things that make up a great coach. Coaches know coaches. And if you listen to someone like a Bob Stoops, he probably could Lincoln Riley's the guy that needs to take this thing over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coaches know coaches.
That's right. And sometimes it just doesn't work out, and sometimes it does. Oh. But you're just never going to know. That's the whole thing.
He told that story when he's talking about when Tom Osborne was the AD at Nebraska, and he saw a young Dave Van Horn and said, that's one of the best young coaches in any sport I've ever seen.
Thinks it working out?
I think Dave Van Horn's career has worked out with some success.
I think so, too. Let's get into your Hog update here on the Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey. Yes, sir.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Yeah, the first annual American Christmas Impeachment Sale is already underway at the Ozarks. Huge discounts on both the sportsman side of the store and the Outpost casual clothing side as well. We're talking up to 75% off on items for your family that'll look great under the Christmas tree this next week. So get in there to the Ozarks right now. They're also giving away some great gifts to all their loyal patriotic customers throughout the weekend, including a PSC Stinger compound bow, a Rocky Mountain crossbow, a Taurus pistol, also a Vortex rifle scope, Vortex HD binoculars, gift cards up to $125. It is Christmas time at the Ozarks. Ozark Sportsman Supply and Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear, the first annual American Christmas Impeachment Sale. Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So the news yesterday, other than the signing period, which we'll talk a lot more in depth with Richard Davenport here in about 25 minutes, but Razorback wide receiver Jordan Jones has decided to transfer out of the Razorback program. Surprised?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, but here's the thing. We don't always know what's going on behind the scenes, what they may be disgruntled about, what their academic situations are. There's just a lot of things that go into this. And you thought when Coach Stepp was retained, when Justin Stepp was retained, that the snag crew, as they like to call it, was going to all stay together. But, you know, clearly there was some disconnect there.
Yeah, and here's what Sam Pittman had to say about Jordan Jones transferring out.
Sam, I just heard, I guess, Jordan Jones announced, I guess he tweeted or something, he's transferring. Is that something you guys talked about? And is that, I mean, were you aware of that? What's your reaction to that?
I really don't want to comment on that. I had visited with him, but all I'll say is we want players that want to be at the University of Arkansas.
That's all he had to say?
Well, when Sam was with us on, was it Monday?
Mm-hmm.
He said he had 39 player meetings the next day, and then the next day he had like 39. Said he was going to meet individually, one-on-one. He said he already had about 20 of them, and every player on the roster he was going to sit down with one-on-one. This may not be the last. In fact, I'd be surprised if it was.
I would be too.
We've already seen Starkle leave. Now, Jordan Jones, I think there will be a few others just because they're going to get to the down to meat and taters here. They're going to find out who wants to be here, who wants to work with the coaches they got, who's in and who's out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of this process of going through these meetings. So don't be surprised if another tweet comes out today with another player you weren't expecting to say, I'm always going to be a Razorback, lifelong Hog, school I love, blah, blah, blah. However, I'm leaving.
And that's what happens when you have coaching changes in general.
It's part of the painful process.
It's not going to be any different. But, Jordan Jones was a guy that was from Arkansas. He was a speedy guy. Got talked about a lot, but just never.
One of the fastest guys on the team.
Yeah, just never. So am I the only one that feels that way? That, like, under Brett Bielema and Chad Morris, we heard about certain players that were just the fastest guys on the team, yet they never got the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I the only one that feels that way? Because what was it, JoJo Robinson? Remember him? The wide receiver that was out of Florida? Talking about he's got that Florida speed. He's just insane. He's crazy. Never got the ball. Just always makes me wonder why in the world you always talk about having these fast guys, but yet you never give them the ball. Are they actually that fast?
Corliss Marshall.
Yeah.
He didn't work out. There was just a lot of stuff away from the field, but boy, the few flashes we got out of him makes you wonder what if.
Yeah. Same. Woo. And it's like, even a guy like, I know, there's always these issues. You never know what goes on behind closed doors, but a guy like TJ Hammond, you always thought like had that ability. But that's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but I always feel like if I have a game breaking player that's got a breakaway speed, I like to find ways to get him the ball. Or at least put him in position to be successful. So I don't know. But Jordan Jones is moving on, and we'll see if he is the last one here for Arkansas.
Yeah. So, all these player meetings, I think there's going to be more attrition, if you will, come off this roster. So
They fully expect it.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
This is a first. This is a first. Okay. This is a first for us. There is a guy by the name of Tiger Bait that is on the Cherokee Casino Hotline.
I don't believe Tiger Bait has ever called the Morning Rush.
I don't think he has. We've had all the others.
Eddie and Clarksville, Lisa. I think Lisa's become a staple now.
I think that's fair to say.
Sterling
and Center Ridge, yeah.
Gentle Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of the other Hall of Fame callers around the state?
Mm.
Michael in Stuttgart.
Joe and Avoca has been around.
Joe's called the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Tiger Bait has ever called this program.
Well, stop traffic.
Do we want to open this can?
I guess. I mean, we're in it. I've already clicked the on air button, so we're in.
Put
all
that
in.
On the poll.
Yeah, we are all in. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Hey, Tiger Bait, there you are. What's going on, man?
I think you've already opened the can. Hey, what about the dude from Clarksville that would rant on
Eddie, yeah.
on Bo's show when Bo had his show?
Yeah, Eddie in Clarksville.
Eddie, yeah, Bo, yeah, they blow the whistle for him, remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and this is Tiger Bait. There's a lot of wannabes out there, a lot of imposters, a lot of whatever you want to call them, but until they say this word, Tiger Bait, then you know it's not real.
Mm. That's the trademark.
But yep. Anyway.
Now it's valid.
Hey.
What have we done to deserve this honor, sir?
Well, I mean, Sterling's calling in, and you know, those other Hall of Famers, those wannabe Hall of Famers, but you are I am the Mount Rushmore. I am probably the lead guy on Mount Rushmore. I don't know if I am or not. That's, you know, that's just an opinion that I have. But Sterling's calling in, and do y'all fade away from what's his name? Gentle Ben is what we call him.
Gentle Ben. Yeah. No, Gentle Ben does call in on occasion. He hasn't called in a while, though.
Yeah. Well, he just goes on and on and on. I was listening to y'all this morning and had a late night last night. My wife's birthday was last night. We went to Benihana in Little Rock and celebrated. So, with a bunch of folks from my church, New Life, but a lot of fun. But, boy, y'all are just whining this morning. You know, if I was an Arkansas fan, I think I'd be on hold with the suicide hotline right now. I mean, come on, guys, pick it up, you know?
Well, be specific. What are we
whining about?
Well, you're behind and everything. Your roads are horrible, you know? your coach looks like a cross between Gary Busey after the motorcycle wreck and a drunk Ron White up on stage. That's just me.
No, we're just trying to get an Ed Orgeron lookalike up here. That's all we're trying to do.
Oh, boy, if you could get that, you'd be doing good. I can tell you that right now, boys. He has taken off, hadn't he? After, I don't know if y'all know this, but the reason USC did not keep him after his interim was because, seriously, they could not understand what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Three-fourths of the time, they said. We can't understand the guy. We can't hire him, you know? And that's exactly why they let him go, because they couldn't understand him.
Yeah.
Well, they understand him down in the bayou, don't they?
Well, I was about to say, in Hollywood, you know, they're all about appearances and you know, looking good and sounding good. But at LSU, they just care about winning. So that's why LSU's in the position they're in, and USC is in the position that they are in.
Well, when your coach is bench-pressing 340, you better listen to him, you know? That's all I can say. And you know, Wes Moore runs another station in Little Rock, some on the buzz or something. He called Coach O just a figurehead, and he got ripped into for saying that. And I just said, hey, don't you wish you had a figurehead up there like that in Arkansas? You know, just idiot statements like that. And then they hang up on you because you battle against their statement, and they're just, you know, it's click, you know, or you're the scum of the earth. You're an idiot. You know, you're this, you're that. You don't have an opinion on, you're not an Arkansas guy. But, you know, this is what makes your show is somebody else calling in with different opinions.
That's right. We welcome different opinions.
Yeah. And we already know that LSU fans are scum of the earth, so we don't need to debate that, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I made a point to where, you know, I'm sure both of y'all have been on prom dates. And, you know, when the first one shut you down, you go to the second one. And they shut you down, you go to the third one. And they shut you down,
you go to a
and
cousin.
You go to the fourth one. And you finally and you finally end up with Rosie O'Donnell. Well, I made a statement that Sam Pittman is Rosie O'Donnell. You know.
Are we talking about Rosie O'Donnell like back in like the League of Their Own days? Or are we like Rosie O'Donnell now?
Oh, the one that came out and saw her shadow, you know, and went back in, you know, for 6 weeks, six more weeks of eating or whatever. But,
ref takes a pan away.
Fat shaming.
You know, from what I understand, he wasn't even on the list. One. He called Judy Henry, his agent, and said, "Do you have Hunter's phone number?" And she said, "Yes, I got it." And she said, "Why?" And he said, "I want to call him and tell him I want the job." So, you know, all these folks are, "Oh, he's a great hire. He's a great hire." Well, he wasn't even on the radar 4 or 5 weeks ago. You know, the 30 days that Hunter was out there searching for a head coach, his name never went across Hunter's Hunter's long list or short list. So, but now he's the greatest hire ever, according to, you know, everybody that, you know, that's talking or calling in. I don't know what y'all think about him. I don't know if y'all have got to say the right thing so you'll get access to Sam's new swimming pool and go swimming with him and, you know, go out to dinner with him, or can y'all really say what you want to say?
No, I mean, when he was hired, we had our own skepticisms. We said that him not being a head coach and him being and the process of it all and how it went down was definitely something that was not ideal for Arkansas in their situation. But when you have back-to-back seasons of 2-10, you know, you got to find something to be hopeful for. So yeah. I think that just Razorback fans are hopeful that they can at least be better than back-to-back 2-10 seasons, which would be hard-pressed to find that not being better than that, at least.
I just want to swim in the pool.
Yeah.
Well, what happens is when you see the Richard Davenport, you know, the headlines in the Little Rock paper are Louisiana guy signs with Arkansas, and you read a little bit further in the article, I mean, it's just wind dressing because, you know, Northwestern and McNeese and Sam Houston offered him, but because Richard Davenport thinks he's from, you know, down in the Ninth Ward down in New Orleans or Baton Rouge, that he's going to be the savior of the defensive backs. And, you know, that's some more smoke and mirrors that he puts up. And, you know, I called him out on it one time. I said, why don't you really tell the truth about who the guy really is and why he wasn't offered by LSU or Alabama or Auburn or Florida or Georgia? You know, you put on your headlines, Louisiana guy coming to, and it fools people. You know, it's fool's gold. And it's not right to lead the people on like a lot of radio stations do, you know, and hook you up to the IV, to the Kool-Aid, and start, you know, start the IV, you know, early in the season, and then you go 2-10 again. And it really destroys the fan base, you know. If you be real, you know, I've always said the worst thing ever happened to Arkansas basketball was Scotty Thurman making that shot against Duke. It ruined the fans' expectations for the next, 30 years, 26, 27 years?
I mean, I wouldn't think it ruined any expectations. I mean, you won a national championship. Of course the expectations are going to get put up a lot. I mean, that's just the way it is.
But not every year. Not every year when the coach starts out 4-6, you know, What's his buyout? You know, I don't know if this guy is iron pyrite, if he's fool's gold or not. I mean, you know, has he really played anybody?
Neither did LSU when you hired Ed Orgeron and made him your interim, you know?
Yeah, but we had success prior to Ed with 10-win seasons.
And Arkansas's had success before. It's just been a while, you know. Got to get back to that.
Yeah, it has been a while. Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, don't call this guy the savior yet because he hasn't started league play.
No one is.
You know, yeah. Well, a lot of people are, you know, down this way. In Little Rock, they are. Mm-hmm. You know, greatest hire ever. Greatest hire Hunter's ever done. He's on, what has he hired? One person?
Well,
you know, at Arkansas?
The greatest hire ever was Frank Broyles, and that's no debate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, let this guy get into league season and see what the temperature is when he loses 4 or 5 straight SEC games, you know, on the road or at home, then see what the fan base starts saying. You know, right now, what is he, 10-1?
No, he's not 10-1.
No, your basketball coach.
Oh, Eric. He's 9-1.
9-1.
Yeah, he's 9-1. He's coming to Little Rock, you know, in front of 15,000, 16,000. So, you know, they're going crazy. I mean, which is what the state needs. The state needs to go crazy. Everything is better off when Arkansas is winning. You know, everything is. They're selling more cars. They're selling more merchandise. I got my buddy of mine owns the Hog Pen deal, and he's got 6 or 7 or 8 of them, and they're just dying. I mean, nobody's in their stores. Yeah. You know, 60-70% off.
Mm. All right, we got to run.
In Baton Rouge?
Yeah. Huh?
We got to run.
Tiger bait!
All right. Wow. All right. Well, Tiger bait in his first call and here on the Morning Rush, and that's what you get.
I went okay.
Went better than what I expected. You know, that was more like a... I'm not even...
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing very well, man. Let's get it.
Yeah, well, that's what we've been trying to do. I'm about to get this peanut butter cake that Tommy's wife brought in here in just a second. But H9 Studio, so you can enjoy it as well, man. But there's a lot of things that we want to get into with you. First off, starting with the early signing day, Sam Pittman goes through it. It was about what he expected. I know there were a few surprises with a few flips, but just what was your overall takeaway from the early signing day for Arkansas in year one under Sam Pittman?
Just that it's really, really tough for new coaches to come in and try to land a class. And they're just going to have to be really, really astute at who they bring in the next round. And I'll say this, player development, which I think is slacked off, and I'm following up on some David Basil comments here. He just felt that player development hasn't been what it's needed to be for the last handful of years. And I think Sam Pittman and this crew have got to be able to bring guys along and turn them into contributors at a higher rate than what we've seen. They're like, just take a Zach Zimos, you know, gets a little bit of special teams playing time. He's a linebacker. Andrew Parker is a linebacker. Let's get these guys ready to play. And I think the guys who did sign on yesterday, I looked at all their highlight tapes, and there's some players among that group. There's some instinctive guys. There's some guys who have speed. Dominic Johnson's a big back. So I think they should, a high percentage of these guys should wind up being good contributors. And it's incumbent upon this coaching staff now to zero in on guys who want to be Razorbacks and player development and make February the best they can make out of it, even if they don't fill up the 25 of this class, because the numbers are just going to be so tight. As Sam Pittman said, you don't want your numbers to get out of whack.
You know, and you just look at the last 3 years, and with the early signing period, you had a lost class, if you will, with when Chad Morris arrived and had the same deal as what Pittman's going through. Now Pittman's going through it just days to put a class together. Tom, I don't think all the pain is over from what you're going to feel from that. And, you know, this is why the JUCO route, the grad transfer route, filling in some gaps is going to be so important, because you just can't survive in the SEC by missing 20 players over a 3-year period. And that's really what it kind of boils down to.
Oh yeah. There's no question about it. It has to be a process where they really comb through the transfer portal. I think guys who are unhappy where they are and are moving on could look at Arkansas as a place to get some playing time still. And you're right. The rest of the SEC, I mean, you look at some of these teams in the SEC signed 20 or more guys yesterday on rosters that are already nicely stacked. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to bust through the weeds quite as badly as Arkansas does. And it's a tough schedule next year. I mean, you're playing Notre Dame on the road. The hurting is not over, but you'd like to think that Sam Pittman and these guys, with the passion they have for coaching at Arkansas, can get the train back on the right tracks and show improvement. Because even though mid part of the year, when they had chances to beat Kentucky and A&M, and they didn't do that, if they had done that, you would have said there's some improvement. Well, Chad Morris never got a signature win at Arkansas, and we'd like to think that Sam Pittman can get him one in year one or two.
What do you think the biggest needs are for Arkansas in this recruiting class? Because I know that Sam Pittman was asked about it, and he more just said, hey, y'all figure that out. I'm sure you know what, what we need. But as far as hitting into February for that signing period, what is really the focus point going to have to be for Sam Pittman and his staff?
Well, every coach goes around with this idea in their head at how many scholarship linemen we want, how many scholarship D linemen, and so on. And I think right now they're sitting at, what, three quarterbacks? So you want to add a quarterback, and you just hate – I mean, when you look at the in a nutshell, the Jacoby Crithwell recruiting and the fact that Chandler Morris was the guy, and you read the story that Jeremy Muck wrote in our paper today about how that Sam Pittman and Steve Caldwell came into the school, and they were good guys and everything, but they're paying for the sins – of others, which was that they did not go after Criswell hard enough, and he's a kid who probably would have played for the Razorbacks, or would have played for the Razorbacks, and he's not.
Hard enough?
So
how about it all?
They got to land the quarterback. You know? I think they have to land some O-linemen in the rest of the way. They've got to get some defensive backs. I mean, that, they are thin at those positions. So it's pretty wholesale. You could use improvement and addition at pretty much every position group on this team.
I'm not a big proponent of, hey, the AD needs to get his hands involved in what's going on in any athletic department, any coach's sport. But I'm telling you, if I'm the AD, if I'm Hunter Yurecek and I've got a coach not recruiting the number one player in the state in the sport, he's going to have to answer to me why. And Chad Moore should have had to be held, should have been held accountable as to why no one was recruiting Jacoby Criswell. And yeah, that's just, there is never an excuse, Tom, to not recruit the number one player in the state, ever.
I know, and you hate it, and the whole state, the outpouring of grief for this whole state that it came to that is sad. And you're right, even if you believe Chandler Morris is coming to this campus, you still recruit the number one prospect in the state and a great quarterback, and you never know what's going to happen at the quarterback position. So it's a shame. And it's a slight on the Chad Morris regime, no question.
All right, Tom, let me ask you this real quick, since it's always about the quarterback and I like having fun about it. Not getting Jacoby Criswell, the quarterback room, you have Starkle that's left. Ben Hicks has graduated right now, at least at this point. KJ Jefferson, you got John Stephen Jones, Jack Lindsey, not exactly a really in-depth quarterback room. Do you think that they go the grad transfer route or the transfer portal, the JUCO route? Do you think that they will have one added quarterback here in this 2020 class at least?
Well, they have to. You've got to save at least four scholarship quarterbacks. And I think it was Brett who always wanted to have five, or it may have been Chad who always wanted to be at five scholarship quarterbacks. And so they'll have to, no matter what route it may be, you have to do that. And so I don't know what De'Aaron King at Houston's ultimate plans are, why he set out this year, and maybe they feel like he felt he could come back and Houston would be a stronger team next season. But there's been some rumors that, you know, maybe he could be a guy. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I do believe that they're going to have to land a quarterback in some route or another.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Appreciate it, Tom. We won't be able to catch up with you, but have a Merry Christmas, man, and enjoy your holiday, all right?
Sounds great. Same to you guys. Goodbye.
I appreciate it, Tom. We got Richard Davenport coming up next.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
It's been a lot today on this Recruiting Thursday to look at the early signing period, some of the commitments and signees that Arkansas has had, the type of impact, and there's no better person to have on the show and to talk about and break it down than a very busy man over the past few days, Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Richard. Hopefully you got enough sleep last night, my man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm good. What time is it?
Well, it's
11:45. I hope you're not late for anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I feel good. No, yeah, okay.
Well, it's always good to have you on, man. And I'll just start right here with the way that the recruiting went yesterday and the signees. Was it about what you expected? I know that there were a few flips here and there, but is that about what you expected for Sam Pittman in his first early signing period at Arkansas?
Yeah, I was saying about 7 to 9, maybe 10, but I still stick with that 7 to 9. I think they're going to hit 9 before it's all said and done. But there's not much you can do. I mean, you know, when you come in, when Sam does, and you basically focus on the guys that are committed to you, and then try to get some guys that obviously you have some ties with, and they had some ties with Ray Curry, who obviously flipped from Missouri to Arkansas, and Dominic Johnson, the running back. There wasn't much you could do other than just focus on the guys that you felt that you could get on board during the early signing period and just go from there. So if they sign 9, which I think they will, that'd be 2 more than Chad Morse did in his first year.
All right, we'll get back to some recruiting questions about yesterday, but let me ask you this. With this early signing period, who does this really benefit, the college coaches and the institutions or the high school player? Because an early signing period in December, to me, on the outside looking, it makes little to no sense, Richard. An early signing period for a high school player, shouldn't that be in like August 1st, 2nd, 3rd? I don't understand why it's in December. And I think when you see enough college football programs go through transitions and get bitten in the butt by this thing, eventually this thing's got to change, doesn't it?
Well, you know, in talking to high school coaches, August, a lot of them don't want August, and here's why. They feel like a lot of the kids would mail it in and be protecting themselves, and wouldn't be giving their all and sit out, you know, if they had already signed, if they weren't feeling, you know, 100%, kind of sit out. I mean, there's several high school coaches that just don't think it would benefit them very well. Mm-hmm. They think it would be tougher for them to coach these kids. December. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you hear all these. You hear all these things about this wouldn't work. This wouldn't work. And a lot of times, you know, when you put in place a plan that a lot of people are opposed to, a lot of times it works out better than what you anticipate. So maybe they could move it to August. I don't know. Now December, obviously, the coaches. They really like that, obviously, the college coaches and the players, too. I mean, it's less stressful going into the February signing period. It benefits everybody, really, other than if you're a first-year coach. And obviously, Arkansas going through this, and twice in 3 years is not a very good thing, because you basically there's no way you're going to have a normal, good, recruiting class, because there's just not much time to develop relationships. You basically focus on the 2021 class. You do what you can, but you're just not going to be able to sign a good class. I mean, a great class or anything like that.
You could certainly make the case that it's just as much of a penalty to have what Arkansas has been through twice in 3 years as it is for self-imposed sanctions where you reduce your scholarships by 6. Or something.
Oh, there's no doubt.
It's a self-imposed sanction when you change coaches at that point in the year. I don't know if schools are going to go to firing coaches in January versus December, get through the early signing period. Something's going to give on this thing, because this system doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work for schools that have coaching changes. Right. And you only have maybe, I don't know, what, 10, 15 a year. So it doesn't affect the majority of people. And I think that as long as it doesn't affect the majority, you're probably not going to have a change. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could be wrong. You make some good points. And I agree with you. But that's just another reason not to be struggling to have a struggling football program.
Richard, just talk to us about some of the specific guys that they had to sign yesterday. And I think there's an interesting story with a few of them. I'll start with the two guys that they got to flip from Missouri. Everyone assumes that a lot to have to do that with that was, of course, the connections and having some of the Missouri staffers, specifically Barry Odom, deciding to do it. But Ray Curry being one of those, the offensive lineman, as well as Dominic Johnson. Give us the story behind those guys and what got them to flip.
Well, evidently on Dominic Johnson's visit, I think you probably saw on Twitter that they felt like they were lied to. When you're Coach Odom and Coach Davis and Coach Carter, I mean, I'm sure you know those guys very well, and I'm sure that the Johnson family might have reached out to them and said, "Hey, Coach, we're not going to Missouri. We'd like to be interested in being a Razorback or something like that." And with Ray Curry, he's been on the Arkansas campus a couple of times in the past, so he knew what Arkansas was like. And then obviously, you know, you bring his head coach and his offensive line coach to Arkansas, it's just a natural that he would flip. And I do know that he's very heavy into academics. His parents are very demanding when it comes to academics and Arkansas's academic support system and everything that they had, the structure for success in the academic area, it was really big there. So either way, you know, the thing is that they got both of them, and Curry definitely is at a position of need for Arkansas for sure.
What about the guy that I know a lot of Razorback fans are excited about, the lone four-star at least so far in this class, Miles Slusher? He was a guy that I know that had been recruited around a little bit, but it seems like that was a big get for the Razorbacks, especially at that position.
Yeah, now he's another one that's visited Arkansas numerous times. I mean, the previous staff did a good job of recruiting him. Obviously, the 2-10 seasons kind of took care of that. He was not going to Oregon. He was really down to Arkansas and Nebraska. And I think the SEC and being close to home was a big draw. And obviously, I think that official visit, being able to spend time with Coach Pittman, really swayed him towards Arkansas. And that's the thing. Even though Coach Pittman didn't have much of a relationship with him, well, he did have a relationship with him at Georgia. That is right, and he helped get Miles a offer from Georgia. So there was a previous relationship, but it probably wasn't as in depth as maybe some others, because he wasn't really considering Georgia. So again, you got to give Coach Pittman a lot of credit there.
We had a few people that's been texting in some questions for you, Richard, if you don't mind. This one comes from Tanner. He was asking about that offensive lineman that's in Conway, and if he's planning to sign during the early period with Ole Miss. He saw that he hadn't signed yet. Do you know the status of him and if he's for sure going to Ole Miss?
No, he's going to sign in February. So, okay. Excuse me. That obviously gives Arkansas another month and a half to try to sway him to Fayetteville. Now, you know, all along, when he made the decision to go to Ole Miss, he wanted to go out of state. You know, some kids want to experience something different. So, obviously, they had a coaching change. Arkansas had a coaching change. We'll see what happens. I think the odds are maybe against Arkansas, but at the same time, you never bet against Coach Pittman, especially with a month and a half until signing day. So, if you didn't have the early signing period, you know, I would. You would be a lot more optimistic about the final product on February the 5th, but we already went through that.
Yeah, another player too that is up in the air and might be deciding Arkansas is Darren Turner, and he's a player that obviously Razorback fans are familiar with. He's out of Memphis, Tennessee. Do you have any sort of indication on where he's leaning and where he's going to sign? Is Arkansas still really good in the running? What's the situation with that?
If he doesn't sign with Arkansas, I'll quit being on the show.
Wow, so that's about as good a guarantee.
Probably hoping he doesn't
that's
come to Arkansas.
Confidence right there.
Yeah. I'd be shocked if he doesn't go anywhere but Arkansas. He visited Arkansas over the weekend. He obviously was committed to Coach Morris and the staff. Only decommitted because of the firing of Coach Morris. Arkansas was the only place that he visited. After Coach Morris was fired, so no reason to think anything other than Arkansas.
All right, another question I have for you, Richard, is I'm always fascinated about the year-in, year-out class in the state of Arkansas when it comes to recruiting. You know, last year's class was pretty solid. This year, maybe not so much. Give us kind of a forecast here. What's the future look like for in-state recruiting, specifically in the 2021 class in the state of Arkansas? How's it looking?
You know, I would probably say it's going to be probably somewhat similar to this year, maybe, 3 to 5 guys. And then I think the 2022 class has a chance to be an above average class. I think it could be one that you hit 7 or beyond. Obviously a lot can happen between now and 2 years. So there'll be some kids that will have a chance to develop into SEC type prospects, and then but you have some right now that already have some offers. So I think the 22 class is the one that you probably look at right now. And don't discount the 21. There'll be some kids that come out of the woodwork that really develop. There might be a kid or two that that really didn't play that much because they were behind a senior, and that happened. That's happened in the past with some guys. So don't totally discount the 21 class.
And with that being said, and the value of knowing that you've got to get the best in-state recruits here at Arkansas to stay at home to really have the success you want the program to have. Barry Lunning's gone to UT San Antonio. Arkansas really didn't have that coach on staff right now that's the Arkansas guy. How important is it for Sam Pittman to find someone to fill that role? Is that crucial? Is that vital in recruiting? Or do you think that's just a nice plus if you can find it?
You know, I would prefer one, but that's just me. But at the same time, I think of Coach Pittman. He's got such a good reputation, and I know he's only been here really 3 years, you know, obviously he's starting on a fourth, but he is so well liked and so respected. And I still think that there'll be an Arkansas connection on the staff. I think that they want people in the program that are connected to this to the state and have great pride in the program in the state of Arkansas. So I'm not convinced it's not going to happen, but we'll have to wait and see.
Should Tim Horton be that guy?
Well, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I really don't. I have some reasons to think that, but it wouldn't shock me that if he would be the guy.
What about the junior college route, grad transfer route, transfer portal? I know that is an element that has really changed college football, and in a lot of cases for the better for a lot of football teams and diving into them. In fact, I believe that three of the four teams in the college football playoff all have transfer quarterbacks, so obviously it works out. But what about that? And Sam Pittman diving into that specifically with a quarterback, do you see that happening and going into that route trying to get a bunch of transfers in?
You know, it may depend on who he names it offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator may have a guy that he has in mind to bring in as a grad transfer, or somebody in the portal, or somebody that's at another school that would be interested in transferring. So, I think you look at all areas, the portal, JC, you know, everywhere. And I feel confident they'll come up with a quarterback, because quarterbacks want to play immediately, just like any other position. And if you get a good OC and the guy's comfortable with him, he'll come. So I think that you'll probably see a guy, maybe not in this class, but probably maybe as a transfer. But I'm sure that they're looking at all quarterbacks throughout the country and seeing if they could add somebody in this class. But I think you're going to see a quarterback or two definitely added to the roster.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Appreciate it, Richard. Have a Merry Christmas, man. I know we won't be able to catch up with you next week, but always appreciate it, man.
Same here, guys. Thanks so much for having me, and Merry Christmas.
Hope Santa brings you some NyQuil cold and flu there, buddy.
Yeah, I think it's the lack of sleep the last 2 weeks, and that's life. As my mom would always say when I was a kid, you'll live.
All right. Go smoke another cigarette. You'll feel better. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Richard. All guests and Richard Davenport. Join us here on the Morning Rush via the Cherokee Casino Hotline.
Everybody's got the crud right now. It's been going around.
Well, I mean, it's that time of year, and, you know, waking up early in the morning, especially lack of sleep. That's one of the leading causes. So
maybe you'd feel better if you had a new hot springs hot tub from Burton Pools and Spas. Nothing else, your body
would be
feel
nice.
Better.
Yeah,
might not get rid of the cold, but it might help you feel a little better. And you can save up to $2,700 right now. No interest for 5 years or $2,700 off on a new hot springs hot tub during Burton Pools and Spas holiday sale. It's going on right now. Over 60 luxury spas for you to choose from, starting at $26.95. These prices include delivery, the cover, and all the startup chemicals to get you going and keep you warm and cozy this Christmas season. It would be the perfect holiday gift for you and your family right in your own backyard. A new hot spring spa from Burton Pools and Spas. Burton Pools and Spas in Springdale and in Fort Smith, your source for backyard fun.
You know, when recruiting happens and the way that recruiting has gone over in college football, specifically over the past decade or so, it's getting more and more ridiculous. Did you see these Muppet videos that Baylor put out?
I did not, no.
They have been putting out these hype videos, quote unquote, but instead of Matt Rhule, the head coach, it's Matt Rhule, a puppet. And they do that with players too.
Okay.
And people are going crazy over them. And I'm just starting to wonder, is it ever going to get to the time where, you know, people start pumping the brakes on these ridiculous videos and all that? Cause, or is it just going to continue to get worse?
They're not meant for us.
I know they're not, but it's almost like it's just like, hey, let's do something random that no one's thought of before.
John, you've hired all these people, all these graphic designers, all these video people, and their job is to create these graphical images and videos and all of this stuff, because now an athletic department employs people just for these roles in recruiting to come up with this great graphic to entice this 16, 17-year-old kid to come to your school. So you got to keep them busy.
I guess. It's just strange to me. But again, they're not for me.
What do you do?
So
you come
up
with Muppets videos, you know?
You think, how come Alabama doesn't have to come up with Muppet videos there, Tommy?
They don't have to do a lot of things in recruiting.
I know.
Of course, you could make the case they don't recruit, that they select. So,
well, it's hard to argue with the results that they've gotten and how they consistently just are able to put together high-quality recruiting classes. But that's the thing, is just some people like recruiting. Some people like covering recruiting. Some people like dealing with that. But honestly, I can't stand it. And if it wasn't for the fact that we had to talk about it on this show and that it does mean something to the Razorback football, basketball program or whatnot.
Means everything.
Because of who you're adding. Then if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't want to talk about it. But
yeah, if they came in tomorrow and said, Kraft, your new beat is, you're not going to do the morning show. You're going to cover recruiting for HitThatLine.com.
What would you say?
Been nice knowing you.
Yeah.
Enjoy that peanut butter cake. It'll be the last one you get.
Well, it's obviously a good enough thing to cover where you have tons of people covering it.
What Richard and Dudley and Otis and all and Nikki and all these people do, because that is a tough beat.
Yeah, but it shows you how much people enjoy it, though, because people read about it. They want to hear about it.
It's a whole business model around it.
Yeah, but it's just not for me. And the ridiculousness of all these videos and having to go on talk to 17, 18-year-old kids constantly about what they're going to decide for essentially one of the biggest decisions that they'll ever make in their entire life. It's just not something that I would personally like to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
You know, sometimes life is hard on you physically, but you don't have to let an injury or a loss of limb slow you down. JP&O Prosthetic and Orthotic Labs are there for you. And whether your injury requires a brace for your back or maybe even your knee, or you need a prosthesis to replace a limb lost through accident, disease, or maybe it was just missing from birth, JP&O can fit you with the device that you need. Even if you have foot-related problems, they have a lab just for you and can create all the things that you need there. JP&O has locations in Harrison, Mountain Home, Batesville, Branson, West Plains, Rogers, and in Fayetteville to serve you. JP&O Prosthetic and Orthotic Labs, solutions, support, and value with world-class technology and service.
I would say that people are pretty interested about this cake that we have sitting in the studio.
Go to Cake Cam there.
Yeah, we have a cake.
If you're not watching online, you should be.
Yeah, because Matty T has set it up to where we have a cake cam, where literally you go to our live stream and you watch the cake, which is not the worst thing in the world. It's probably much better than watching our ugly mug sit here talk about sports.
I can't believe it's still here after like 2 hours.
I know it.
Well,
Laura texted me a minute ago and said, hey, how was the cake? I said, go ahead and cut into it.
Well, she can watch the live stream. That's
what I told her.
Well, but here's the thing.
She's worried that the cake is no good. I know the icing's good. I'm worried about the cake.
I wanted to wait until the final segment because I didn't want to open it up and then have to sit there and wait and actually talk about stuff and let it sit there and make it even tempt me more. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so we're professionals down here.
Yeah. We're waiting until the final segment.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Before we cut into this cake, let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Troy is in Harrison. What's going on, Troy?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Merry Christmas to y'all and everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Y'all have a good one.
Thanks.
I think, you know, I was listening to halftime yesterday, and I was in my work vehicle. I'm driving, and I'm in and out. But I heard Phil say something about somebody, I believe, texted in on your phone line there and was criticizing Jacoby Criswell for no loyalty and no leadership. So So if that guy's listening, I want to say this to him. You're talking to a guy right now who was 13 years as an Army Ranger, 22 years as a police officer. I know something about loyalty and leadership, son. And that young man, liken it unto this. You've asked the same girl out all your life. From grade school through high school, you've asked her out. And in your senior prom, you asked her to go 100 times, and she says no. The day of the prom, she doesn't have a date. So she comes and asks you to go. You already had a date. Somebody else told you yes, and you stuck with that commitment. That young man showed more loyalty and leadership yesterday than this guy has in his whole sad, pathetic, civilian puke life. He stuck to his commitment. He did the right thing, even though it wasn't what he wanted his whole life. He did the right thing. He was loyal to his commitment, and he showed leadership to everybody else who gets a nice piece of cake dangled in front of him at the last minute. So this guy needs to go and ask his mama for a pudding pie and go home. That's all I got, guys. I don't know why it upset me so bad, but it darn sure did.
Yeah. Well, appreciate the phone call, yeah. Troy. And
your passion, and I don't disagree with you.
I don't either.
I mean, I generally take issue with in-state recruits that leave the state. But in this case, I have nothing but the best of wishes.
No.
For Jacoby. I hope he has an All-American career.
Yep.
At North Carolina and beats Clemson a lot.
Yep.
You know, because Arkansas, as you said, did not recruit. There is no excuse at any time, in any sport, at any moment, that the University of Arkansas does not recruit the number one player in the state in that sport. There has to be extenuating circumstances for this to happen. And this was nothing but a selfish act by Chad Morris.
Yeah.
And who's left holding the bag?
Arkansas.
Chad Morris is down there at Auburn.
He's doing fine.
Chandler Morris can go wherever he wants. Who's left holding the bag?
Arkansas. Per usual, perennial bag holders.
Well, I mean, it's just, and again, I'm not a big, hey, the AD needs to get in there and get involved in this stuff. You know, don't need to meddle. But listen, as the AD, I'm going to privately make you be accountable. If I'm the AD and you're the head coach, why aren't you recruiting the number one player in the state to our campus, to our university, to our program?
Pretty sure Frank did that to the Springdale Five.
Right.
He kind of stepped in and said, hey, nut, you got to go get these guys, man. You're here. Same thing with Mitch Mustang. So, yeah, I'm totally with you.
All right.
So.
Everybody's after us about cutting this cake.
All right.
Last
all right,
10 messages on Periscope.
All right.
When are y'all going to cut this cake?
Yeah. What's going on here? No, we need Mad T's mic on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go.
What they were referencing, the caller, when he said cake, I quickly switched over to the shot of the cake. So that was
very
little,
good producing by you.
Yeah. A little video production.
Doing it on the fly. Well, bring that cake over here, Maddie T. I'm going to dive into this one because everyone's been wondering about it. And now just to clarify,
Laura's been asking all morning about
just to
this.
Clarify, we know it's peanut butter icing, but what's the rest of it?
It's a yellow sponge cake, two layers underneath that she worked.
Yellow sponge cake.
Yeah, it's...
Got too much stuff going on over here. Okay, so yellow sponge cake, and this is just a regular knife. No.
I did not bring grandma's cake knife because I was threatened that if it got lost, it'd be divorce. So I just brought a regular old.
You know, I'm gonna have to take a picture of this real quick because I don't want to, you know, mess it up and
yeah. So this is
pretty. It's a very pretty.
This
cake.
Is Laura's. Well, it was at your request, but Merry Christmas to you from Laura.
Yes, and thank you, Mrs. Kraft, for putting up with Tommy every day.
She loves when you call her Mrs. Kraft. So.
Well, would you prefer?
I don't care.
You want to know the truth of why I do that?
I'm sure she thinks it makes her sound old, though.
You know why I do that?
What?
It's because I keep wanting to call her Lauren, and I know that's not her name.
No.
So that's why I just stick with Mrs. Kraft and make it easy on myself.
Because Laura's hard to say?
No, it's just for some reason I just want to say Lauren. I know a lot of Laurens, don't know really many Lauras. So that's all it is. So
now you know one.
All right. So I guess we're going to go ahead and dive into this. Oh, man. Look at that. Not even putting any pressure on it.
We still trust John to cut cakes around here.
I don't know.
No pressure
he
on that.
He can't kill a deer, so maybe he can cut a cake.
No, just remember that I'm in charge of this cake over here if you want any of it. So this is my cake, technically, rule. So, all right, how big of it?
She'll make me all the...
All right, so you want a third, right? You want me to...
You want a third of the cake?
You want a third of the cake right here? All right, I'm going to go ahead and Trying to do my accuracy here. Okay, yeah, that's
you
a good.
Just
that's a good slice.
Teasing the video audience
that's
online.
That's a good slice, right? Mm-hmm.
That's an extra 50 burpees. Yeah, every
at least
every inch and a half over with a knife is another 25 burpees.
Okay, now here's the key of lifting this sucker up. Ooh, look at that.
Mm.
Careful,
and she don't die. Pressure. Can he handle? Oh,
there you go,
like a pro.
Look at that beauty. Look at that beauty.
That's a beaut, John.
That is. Thank you. I have worked on my cut or my cake cutting ability since I got so much crap for last year for taking the roof off of that gingerbread house.
Yes.
So, all right. Go ahead and do the first taste test here just in front of everybody, in front of our live studio audience. Let's take a little piece of it. You said it was sponge cake, right?
Well.
Yep.
Yep. The cake's good. Yep. The cake's good. The icing is the...
The icing sets it off,
and for those, she makes this homemade peanut butter icing.
It's beautiful.
That tastes better than sin.
I thought you were going to use a different S word, but yes.
I could use a different S word, but I've, you know, we're on the radio here.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yep, she did it, Tommy.
The cake's good, right?
She did it. The cake's good.
The icing's
better. But the icing's better. It's like you eat great barbecue, and the barbecue's good, but that sauce... is so amazing.
A great barbecue doesn't need sauce, but I know what you're saying.
But right, yeah, but it just adds that extra little layer to it all. So, all right, Tommy, how big of a slice you want here? Come on. Like same size as mine, a little bigger, a little smaller.
A little smaller? Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Well, we're having lunch later today.
So? It's breakfast. You didn't eat breakfast this morning.
No, I haven't eaten any breakfast. This is the first day we hadn't had a candy bar during the 7 a.m. break.
This is all protein, too, with the peanut butter, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's
Someone
right.
asked me for the recipe online. I said, well, just start with 10 pounds of butter and go from there.
All right, there's good. Your plate.
Oh.
Your fork to dive into it as well, and there you have it. Maddie, what about you?
I want a big one.
Like bigger than mine, eh?
Maybe equal to.
Equal to. Okay, that's fair. That's about right there. How good is it?
I'm a lucky man.
I'm telling you. Like, I couldn't imagine being married to somebody who does things like this. And
had to make her stop.
Well, that's the thing is, Tommy, you can't make her stop. She enjoys it. Does she get this off Pinterest? Is that the type of thing she goes with?
Oh.
There you go,
Maddie. Does she put it on Pinterest?
No, I'm saying, like, does she get her inspiration from Pinterest?
Yeah, she does a lot. So. Instagram, Pinterest, yeah.
Okay. Man, this is great. Great radio, too, that we're doing, by the way. But it's Christmas time. We mailed it in.
Our video stream, you know, so you can watch all this.
So go promote the video stream.
If you're listening right now, go on YouTube, Periscope, or Facebook later, and the video will be up.
Yeah, exactly. And you can check us out eating cake that has icing. That's just
this is better than ice cream. And that's a statement.
Yeah, because you know normally I've always been somebody who has to have cake with ice cream. This is fine the way it is. I think ice cream would actually ruin it. If that was the case.
I think you're right.
And I don't say that lightly because I love me some ice cream. So
that frosting's unbelievable.
Oh my God, that's insane!
And then, isn't it amazing?
That's your first bite.
Yeah, this is the first time.
Honestly,
had
I didn't
it.
Even try the cake. I just took a big scoop of the icing off of it.
Mm, man,
it's better than peanut butter somehow.
I wonder what the poor people are doing today. We're over here.
No, let them eat cake.
Yeah, we're over here just eating peanut butter cake, enjoying life. We got about a few minutes left in here on the show.
You think Sam Pittman would like this?
I think,
he said he loved chocolate.
I mean, who wouldn't like this? Give me the most fit person and I'm sure they would like it.
I bet Musselman would. He'd eat a little old sliver, then he'd go run 9 miles. Pittman would be like us. Cut me a little bigger piece.
And he'd probably use it with his hand and just carry it around with his hand there.
Yeah.
But a few people texting. And by the way, Zach Orange just texted me and said that we're not really helping him out. On his diet. He says him and his diet want to punch us in the face.
Yeah.
So, hey, listen, it's Christmas time. You can't be going on a diet during Christmas time, right?
Go off a diet.
Yeah. So this is just part of the dessert.
You got to have this part of your life so you can have New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to get back into it. That's my phrase.
That's right.
I got to get back into it.
That's you're going to say that
like every Monday.
You're going to say that on Monday. Yep. You're going to say
I got to get back into it,
Russ in Jonesboro wants to know what the ingredients are.
Well, you start with 10 pounds of butter, I think.
It's good start.
She's getting butter and eggs. She leaves it all out, gets to room temperature. That's really like the key to it.
Man. Like,
and I'm going to tell you, as you can tell from the quality, None of that cake, none of that stuff. There's nothing that comes out of a box. There's no Duncan Hines. Mm-mm. There's no Betty Crocker in this. She makes all of it from scratch.
Let me ask you, because she's done a lot of these. Is this your favorite cake she's made?
The Kentucky butter cake that she made in the shape of a house last year is probably still my favorite cake, but that's by far the best icing. Mm. Without question, the best icing. This is death row food. Like, if they're going to hook me up, give me that last IV down there at Garner. I want one of these cakes before I go.
I feel like I've already died and gone to heaven.
Yeah, this is what I want.
Down at Garner?
Yeah.
What's that?
Where the prison's at.
Oh.
Down there south of Pine Bluff. It's death row food right here.
Russ is asking us to put it online. Go to our live stream, my man. I got the cake on there, too.
Yeah.
No, he's saying the recipe. I don't know if we can put the recipe. It's a secret recipe by Mrs. Kraft.
I'm not going to get the recipe.
No, I don't want the recipe. Why would I want the recipe when I can just guilt Tommy into having his wife make us a cake?
It's a win-win.
No,
I win.
We all win.
We're all eating cake.
We're all winning here on the Morning Rush. So what are we going to do with the rest of this?
Yes, the correct thing.
Does your wife want more back?
Let's hurry and give it all the way to everyone in the building before Ty arrives. And that way... And leave Ty like the smallest piece we can possibly leave.
With no icing.
That's what we need to do.
That's what we need
to
do.
All the salespeople, get in there and eat some cake.
Yeah, because we got plenty of it.
Early.
And it is fantastic.
He just showed up early today.
Appreciate everybody listening into the Morning Rush. For Tommy Kraft and Matty T, I'm John Neighbors. Same sports show, same sports channel tomorrow. Have a great day.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.